to 1 John chapter 1. Here's an amazing, inspired scripture written by John, that disciple that was so close to Jesus, knew him so well, and for probably nearly 100 years before he died, shared this glorious truth with so many people, and he shares it with us tonight through his first epistle, 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to notice here something about the purifying blood of Jesus Christ. You'll see it referred to more than once, but let me begin reading with verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, says John, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. You see, he was one of the 12 disciples. He saw Jesus. And look what he says here, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. He was so close to Jesus. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. That's another name for Jesus, the word of life. The life appeared. That's Jesus. He appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. I want you to notice the next two verses as well. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Who's that? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, friends, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you heard a message that I wish everybody in the whole wide world could hear. Dear Pastor Mel Cuthbert preached it on the centrality of the cross. Never forget it. And now we come back to that same theme as we speak of the blood of Christ that purifies us from all sin. In our city of Kitchener is a man who has been a pastor for many years in a liberal church. He's now 91 years of age, and he has the privilege of writing an article in our newspaper every Saturday, in which he, about every week, is tearing down the fundamentals of the gospel. And a little while ago, he wrote an article scoffing at the song that says, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." Did you know in many churches today, hymn books have been revised so that songs about the blood of Jesus Christ have been removed? I'm glad that you've got a book here. For instance, if you look at page 262, just take your hymn books for just a moment. just want you to see some songs of so many that are here, but page 262 tells us in this song, the blood will never lose its power. Amen? And look at song 263. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Look at number 264. Here's even some scripture about the blood of Christ. Would you read it with me? From 1 Peter 1, 18 to 21. Let's say it together. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Look at number 265. I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted, blind eyes made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the what? The blood of Calvary. And we heard that song so beautifully sung about the blood of Christ that Lisa sang for us just a few moments ago. This God's love written in red. Look at number 266. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at number 267. I'd like you to read this with me as well. We read it a few moments ago in the NIV. Now, here it is from another translation. It just kind of makes it fresh to us. Let's read it together again from 1 John 1, 6 through 9. So, if we say we are his friends, but go on living in spiritual darkness and sin, we are lying. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ does, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other. And look at this. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, we can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. Well, those are, and by the way, notice the next song. Number 268, another great hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. Look at the third stanza. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead, for me, e'en for my soul, was shed. Well, those are just some of the songs about the blood of Christ, and I'm glad that here at West Highland you still sing about and preach about and believe the blood of Jesus Christ, the purifying blood. Well, 1 John 1, 7 really is our text. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, when you think about blood purifying, you know, many people today are criticizing churches like this one, who believe in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from sin. They say, oh, how can blood cleanse from sin? And they scoff. They call it a bloody religion. Well, friends, it is. And if you don't go through the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll end up with a bloody irreligion, because the consequences of sin is death. But the blood, did you know that to help you understand how blood purifies us. Think about your own blood. Did you know our blood purifies our bodies of toxins, of impurities? And by the way, if I were to ask you how many fingers do you have on your hands, you'd probably say maybe 10. How many ears do you have? You'd say 2. Let me ask you, how many hairs do you have in your head? Oh, that might be a little harder, but let me ask you another question. How many red blood cells do you have in your body? What if we said 30 trillion? Can you imagine that? And every one of those is part of God's plan in bringing life and vitality to you. For instance, there is a film that was produced by Moody Films with the Moody Bible Institute, a wonderful film that I've seen, maybe you've seen it too, called The Red River of Life. And that talks about that song you were singing, Lisa, written in red, speaking of the blood of Christ. The Red River of Life, though, flows in your body. And if you were to step inside this most complex factory that is you, most complex factory ever designed, your blood system, think of it, with 30 trillion cylinders and powered with a pump that's far superior to finest steel, this system carries its precious cargo of oxygenated blood to every corner of your body. And keep it up, folks. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord just keeps it up. You can even go to sleep and your heart just keeps on pumping. And the blood keeps on flowing. And your body continues to make new blood cells by the millions continually. And it's amazing. But you know, part of what the blood does is not only to take oxygen and nutrients to all parts of the body, but it also, it's not only a food delivery system, it's a garbage collecting system. Every Thursday, in front of our place, I hear the squeak of a big truck, and it's the garbage collector coming by to pick up the garbage for the week at our place. I don't know what day your day is, but thank God for garbage days. But you know, there's a garbage day going on all the time in your body, continually collecting all of the impurities and all the toxins and carrying them out of your body. By the way, have you thanked God for your kidneys lately? You see, that's where the blood, which collects all of this stuff, deposits those toxins. And then it's flushed out of your system. Boy, God's smart, isn't he? Didn't he put you together marvelously? And never get over the wonder of it all. You know, every day your kidneys process about 200 quarts of blood to sift out about 2 quarts of waste products and extra matter. So the blood in your body is a purifying, cleansing agent. Thank God for that. And one of the reasons God made you that way is to help you to understand something about what the shed blood of Jesus Christ spiritually does for you and for me when he died on the cross. Because you see, Jesus' blood purifies our souls from sin. The Greek word that's used here in verse 7 and also again in verse 9 for purify or cleanse is the word from which we get the word catharsis, which means a cleansing. And that's what Jesus' blood shed on the cross does for us. That's why we should never set aside the songs that talk about the shed blood of Christ that cleanse us from all sin. I want you to notice some things about this purifying blood of Jesus. As you look at the text, I want you to see, first of all, the condition for cleansing. And what is it? The condition for this cleansing, you see the if word in our text, verse 7? If we what? Walk in the light. And if you're going to know the cleansing of Jesus' blood in your life, it's essential that you be walking in the light of God, the light of His Word, the light of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, the light of the blessing of being in Christian fellowship as we just allow the light of the Lord to come on our lives. We were studying last Thursday night with a group of Chinese young adults in the book of Hebrews, and we were looking at Hebrews chapter 9, and we were noting, among other things, that in the tabernacle, in the old tabernacle built in the wilderness, God ordained that the children of Israel should build and they should move with them as they traveled in all of their journeys, that there was a light above it. It was a pillar of cloud by day and it was a pillar of light by night. And the people of Israel knew where they were supposed to be by whether that cloud or that pillar of light moved. And when it moved, they moved with it. And the light was shining upon them as they camped underneath that Shekinah glory of God. And God says, if you and I walk in the light, and on our earthly journey, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, on our earthly journey, let the light of God lead you and guide you. And if you're staying there, under His light, this is the condition for knowing the blessing of God and the forgiveness of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you know, there's something in the human heart that says, I want to go on my own way. I want to check out the dark spots. That's why the Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, well, this is the condition for cleansing. And may I encourage you as we prepare in a few moments now to be at the table of the Lord to make sure that you're meeting this condition for the cleansing blood of Christ. Walk in the light. I want you to see the agent for cleansing. What is the agent that actually makes this cleansing possible? And our text says, the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. I mentioned Hebrews chapter 9. Let me notice with you verse 11 to 14. And here we have a comparison about the Old Testament sacrifices of blood, which were a picture of the blood of Christ that would be shed once and for all of us. And now we read this in Hebrews 9:11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Oh, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse, there's that word catharsis again, cleanse or purify our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. That's the agent for cleansing. I want you to see the effectiveness of this cleansing from this scripture. It's wrapped up in a little word, all or every. Depending upon which translation you have, the good old King James Version uses the word all. Here in the NIV, it says, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all or every sin. It's a complete cleansing. I think all of you are aware of the fact that it's kind of important to take a shower every once in a while. And I hope you do. I've walked among you, and I think probably most of you are doing that. There's something down deep inside that says, boy, I'd like to be clean. And when a person comes under Holy Spirit conviction and recognizes, I am dirty spiritually, I am a sinner, I need cleansing from my sin. And we call out to Jesus and say, oh Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me, cleanse me. Oh, he is so eager, so pleased to do it immediately, to give us that spiritual bath that cleanses us not just from some sin, but from every sin. It could be even as I'm speaking right now, and I trust it is happening, that the God, the Holy Spirit, who is speaking to our hearts and pointing out any areas of uncleanness in our lives. And I hope you find in your heart welling up a desire, oh Lord, I want to be clean. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol. Cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, the effectiveness of the cleansing blood of Christ. But I want you to see something else here. The continuation of that cleansing. Now, maybe you don't pick it up here in our English translation, but here's where it's helpful to observe how it's stated in the Greek. This word that talks about cleansing in verse 7, the blood of Christ that cleanses us or purifies us, is, as you Greek scholars would know, in the present indicative active, which tells us that it is a continuing process. It's a continuing application of the blood of Christ upon our lives. So it's a continuing cleansing. Aren't you glad for that? And it's appropriate that every day we afresh say, oh Lord, just like verse 9 says, if we confess our sins. Now, you know, the Lord has made it possible so that you don't have to sin. But every one of you, I'm looking at you, and if you don't know it already, I want to tell you, and if you do know it, I want to remind you, and I'm talking to myself as well. I'll look in my glasses and see if I can see myself. Jim Reese, I'm talking to you. You have a sinful nature, and you are prone to sin. But I got good news, you don't have to. It is possible now for you not to sin because of the power of Christ within you. When we go to heaven, it's going to be not possible to sin. Won't that be wonderful? But none of us has any excuse to sin because God has made all provision for us to know his power and victory in our lives. But John, the beloved apostle, knows that sin is something that every one of us has to deal with and continually. And so in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, thank God it's a continuing cleansing. And may you experience that this week in your own personal walk with the Lord. There's one other thing I'd like you to see, and that is the results of this cleansing. The word is fellowship. Fellowship. You see it in our text. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from every sin. By the way, you'll find that word fellowship several times here in this chapter. Look at verse 4, verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see two kinds of fellowship there? You see the word fellowship twice? You might like to underline it in your Bible. We have fellowship together with us, and then we have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus. By the way, do you see two lines? One is a vertical line, isn't it? Like this. Fellowship with the Father. Another is a horizontal line, fellowship with each other. Hey, by the way, what does that form? There's the cross. That's the whole message of the cross. Fellowship. We were alienated from God, but when Jesus died for us, it made it possible for us to have fellowship with Him. And when we have fellowship with Him properly, then we can have fellowship with each other. And by the way, many people like to have the horizontal fellowship, but forget the vertical fellowship. And if you've got just the horizontal fellowship you're working at, it's going to fall. But did you realize that if you put the vertical fellowship in place with God, then you can attach this horizontal fellowship to that so it's got a place to stick. And then you can enjoy that fellowship with each other as well. And verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we're liars. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There it is again. By the way, it's interesting that that word fellowship is in the name of this church. This is West Highland Fellowship Baptist Church. And it's all based upon the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see that we have fellowship with God, and then we have fellowship with one another. Oh, thank God for it all. Some time ago, as I was thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ, I wrote a poem, and you'll see it on the back side of your little sheet if you've been taking notes tonight. I'd just like to read this as we prepare to come to the table tonight about the precious blood of the Lord. Thy precious blood, dear Lamb of God, was shed on yonder hill in full obedience to Thy Father's holy will. In bitter pain Thou didst remain upon the cruel tree, and as I view Thy bleeding side, I know it was for me. Thy precious blood, O Savior dear, is all the sinner needs to wash away his sin and hide his darkest deeds. A new position by remission is afforded me, for I'm an object of Thy love, a creature new to be. Thy precious blood, O risen Lord, Thy Spirit doth apply to those who will in humble faith for mercy cry. Now, Savior dear, Thou dost appear before the Father's throne to intercede for the redeemed and name them as Thine own. Thy precious blood, O conquering King, shall work to make men pure till all Thy family is complete and made secure. Then Thou shalt come to summon home Thy eager, waiting bride, and I shall be eternally fully satisfied. It's all because of the purifying blood of Jesus Christ. And now I hope in your heart you feel I'm ready to again commemorate the death of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, as in a moment here at the communion table we will partake of the bread and the cup that remind us of this. And I hope as you hold the bread tonight, and as you take the cup, there'll just be a welling in your heart, a great big spirit of thank you, Lord, thank you. I have fellowship with you. And by the way, the communion table not only pictures our fellowship vertically, but it pictures our fellowship with one another as well, doesn't it? Because we're doing this together. You don't partake of the Lord's table all by yourself.